is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
In that passage, 1 Corinthians 11 passage, verses 23 through 25, two times Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Do this. Do it often. When you do it, and as often as you do it, remember me. Don't just take crackers and juice. Remember me. It's so easy to get caught up with our own life. It's so easy to get caught up in ourselves. But when we take these elements, and when we remember what Jesus did on the cross and all that He took, it makes it a little easier to separate ourselves from the here and now, from this moment, from the woe is me, and to look back and to remember what Christ did.
What does communion mean to you? Do you just partake in it as a religious act? Pastor Troy will teach us today that it's so much more than that. When you take communion, it's an act of obedience in remembering all that Christ did for you on the cross. It helps you to keep your focus on Him instead of yourself. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Like if I were to give you a photograph or something, and it's like, oh man, this is awesome. But I show it to you, and it's my old great-grandparents or something, who I knew as a baby, and I had some special moments. I mean, they changed some diapers for me, you know? Those were great moments. But for me to hand you a picture of them, it wouldn't be insignificant, not all that important to you. It's not a special thing. But for Jesus, communion is supposed to be something special for those who do love Him. Something we ought to make an effort for, not something you just sit and go, oh, good, communion today, all right, hope the crackers aren't stale. It should mean something. So Judas is not there. And what's interesting is up to the very end, the disciples did not know that one of their own was a betrayer. That's amazing. You know why they couldn't tell? Because Jesus never treated him different. Jesus didn't treat him like, you're the betrayer. You don't get any privileges. You, I don't know about you. That wasn't, Jesus treated them all the same. Judas went out and had power to go heal and do things when the 72 went out. Judas got to minister. And I find that very interesting. Because so often we think it's easy to pick out those who are not genuinely followers. Sometimes it is. The fruit is obvious. It's not so obvious with some, though. They look like they're followers. They look great. They're kind people. They just fit into the Christian mold. You know, what would we describe as Christian? Kind, upstanding, clean cut, whatever it is that you would put as Christian label. They fit. They're comfortable. But they're not followers. Our desire should be to follow Christ. If you are a genuine believer, then it should be your desire to follow Christ. And communion should become a little more important to you, because it isn't just another religious thing. Jesus started it. And He said, as often as you do this, you're going to keep this going, do this in remembrance of me. That's why we like to try to make it something special. Our Wednesday night service, once a month, is devoted to communion. Obviously, we will get together and we'll have food, fellowship, and then we go into a communion service where there's worship, time spent with the Lord, and then we culminate in communion, remembering what this is all about. And we model it after what I have read, anyway, of some of the love feasts that they would have, where they would do communion. And they would all come together. It'd be potluck style. That was even being abused. If you read Corinthians, they weren't sharing their food with some of the poor because the poor were only bringing chips or whatever, you know, and so they wouldn't share with the poor. So there were trouble. Then I guess too many were nipping the communion or something. So problems with the whole communion, love, feast, and service. But it was intended to be a time of great fellowship, great intimacy, knowing one another, and then worshiping the Lord and taking communion together, remembering that point of contact. So Judas was not there for communion, nor was he invited. In fact, Jesus said, what you got to do, go do quickly. Verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus took the elements from the Passover feast after the supper. So Judas was there for the supper, but it's after supper now. And the feast continues. There are some other things that go on in the feast. And they took the bread and cup after supper, the unleavened bread and the cup, and he used them to give a picture of his death, what was coming. The bread represented his body, which was broken because you would break it. And the fruit of the vine, well, it looks like blood. And so that would be very good imagery for blood that has been shed. And he says to them, this is my body. This is my blood. I want you to look at these. I want you to remember me when you take these things. Now, I do want to touch on something really quick in our society, in our culture especially. Because there's a doctrine, the doctrine of transubstantiation. What that is there is a belief that the elements, when you take them, or when they're blessed, or when they're placed in your mouth, whichever the case may be, they actually change and become the literal body and blood of Christ. This is not from the scriptures. There is no root anywhere except in church hyper-spiritual connotations. It's a tradition that's been passed down, and it is not true, and it's not what Jesus said this was all about. It's not a special thing because it turns into his body and blood, and some of them get the scripture because Jesus had said, if you don't eat of my body and you don't drink of my blood, you can have no part of me. But that's not at all what happened. There's no meaning of that in these verses in any of the Gospels. The intention here is look at these, but see what I'm trying to tell you to see. Look through them and see these things. There'd be a point of contact. The bread remained bread, the wine remained wine, but now these things pointed to something much deeper. They were given to serve as reminders. You know, so what if it turns into blood, or it doesn't matter what it turns into. If my heart isn't in the right place, it doesn't matter what they turn into. The point here is your heart needs to be in the right place. I want you to look at something that will be a reminder to help get your heart in the right place. That's the idea. There are things that I can do even to this day that will remind me of my dad. It was a long time ago now that I was living in Albuquerque. And whenever I would take graham crackers, you know, I don't like to break them just anywhere because they kind of crumble. There's some crumbs. So I'll go over to the sink and I'll break them over the sink and then I will eat them. And this one day in particular, I went and my dad's wife up in Albuquerque was in the kitchen, and I walked in and, hey, how are you doing? Grabbed me a graham cracker, broke it, and went out. And she just started cracking up. I'm like, what? And she goes, you are just like your dad. She said, I can't believe it. Just just a minute ago, he walked in, grabbed a graham cracker, went over there, broke it over the sink the same exact way and walked out. I'm like, so now whenever I do that, it's a point of contact for me. It always reminds me of that. It reminds me of him. This Jesus taking these elements of the traditional Passover supper. I mean, don't mess with these. This is tradition. You don't mess with them. Well, he broke tradition. That was a big deal. And he says, this is my body. No, that's not. That's the cracker after dinner. What do you mean that's your body? He broke tradition. And this is the cup. This cup. The cup of the new covenant. Like, whoa, this is radical. And they would remember for the rest of their lives and pass all of this on, what Jesus meant. Because it didn't set in then, because he still was alive, but that night he was about to be betrayed. And then, from then on, they would remember very vividly what these elements were to cause them to look to. These elements are to serve as that kind of reminder, a point of contact, what Christ did and what he's promised. The Lord's Supper, communion, should cause us to look three directions. Let me read 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 29, and then comment on that. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body.'" You see, it's about the heart. Because if it just was a matter of it changing into something, that would happen because God does that. But it's really a matter of the heart that's taking the communion. The first direction when we take communion that these elements should cause us to look is backward. What Christ did on the cross. He died on the cross. In that passage, 1 Corinthians 11 passage, verses 23 through 25, two times Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Do this. Do it often. When you do it, and as often as you do it, remember me. Don't just take crackers and juice. Remember me. It's so easy to get caught up with our own life. It's so easy to get caught up in ourselves. But when we take these elements, and when we remember what Jesus did on the cross and all that he took, it makes it a little easier to separate ourselves from the here and now, from this moment, from the woe is me, and to look back and to remember what Christ did. The second direction is to look ahead at the promises of Jesus as a result of the new covenant. In those same verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 26, Paul said, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So there's a sense of he's coming again. Life is short. And really, how significant is it? I need to be about my Father's business. I need to recenter myself. So there's a recentering as you look ahead. I remember how motivated I would get when my mom would say, "Your father is on his way home." Oh, no. And I start thinking, what have I done that I might be in trouble for? You try to fish with mama. And are we good? You know, mom, when dad gets home, all right. Just want to find out because I know when dad gets home, everything changes. Wrath has been blasted on me. And now I know that could have been the joy of my father's heart, actually. But it's not your joy. It's not like you come home going, "Man, I hope we got some spanking to do. I just can't wait, man. I've been exercising today, doing the gripper thing." No, you come home and then, and maybe it's our case, I don't know, but you come home and mom, I guess, is done. So-and-so knew two spankings. They didn't do this. I was happy until I got here. Now I gotta go. And it's the wrath. That can happen. You gotta learn to balance that. But it's just my cross to bear. I don't know. But it's not a joy, but sometimes it's necessary, right? And it's good. It's good that we have a sense of somebody, at least somebody, who causes us to go, I need to do things right. I need to live in a right way. And when we look ahead, it causes us to remember that as well. He's coming again. He laid out expectations. He laid out some, here's what you should be doing while I'm away. Am I doing that? So to look ahead is a good thing. To sense he's coming is a good thing. It's something we long for. We long to see him. So to look back, to look ahead. The third direction is actually two directions, but I'm really thinking more in terms of a timeline. So I've talked about the past, the future. The second direction would be up, but more in as a result of looking up. And on the timeline, it would be the here and the now. We're to consider our hearts before the Lord. Again, 1 Corinthians 11, that final part of that passage, verses 27 through 29, we read that we're to examine ourselves so that we don't take the elements in an unworthy manner. Now, let's clear this up. Not that you are worthy or that you're unworthy. It's not about you and you being unworthy. I've heard people every now and then say, I didn't take communion today because we had some arguments. There's some things going on. So I passed. Like that's the noble thing to do. We're going to find out it's not a good thing to do. And we'll talk about why. But the reason we take communion is never because we were ever worthy. We take it because we're unworthy. And that's why he did what we did. So we take it to remember and to receive that which he gave. So we're never worthy. It's not about anything that you had done up to that point. An unworthy manner is to take it stubbornly. In other words, I know there's something I need to deal with, but I'm not going to. Sure, I'll take communion. Unworthy manner. Ritualistically, that's to go through the motions without the emotion. You just ritual. Well, they're passing them. I guess I'll take one. Superstitiously, that would be the transubstantiation, that changes into something, or also thinking that you're going to receive some special blessing. Oh, good, it's communion. There's some special blessing for taking communion. Nope, not for you. Not if that's why you do it. And frivolously, not making the connection at all. A worthy manner. As it says, a worthy manner is by self-examination, genuine self-examination. Not examining your wife or husband, self-examination. You don't examine self, you're not taking it in the right manner. And confessing your sin before the Lord. Confessing what it is. The point is not what have you done, or where was your heart before you took the cup in your hand or before it came before you? But it's what are you going to do as a result of it? Now that you have it, now that it's here, now that you have a point of contact, you're remembering, what are you going to do? Yeah, you were not doing so good up to this point, but what are you going to do now? Do you see why it's important that you don't pass up on the cup? Because when you pass up on the cup, what you're basically saying is, I'm not going to do anything. I'm in a bad situation. I'm just going to let that slide right by. Yeah, you're in a bad situation. You always have been. You always are. We take the cup because he gave his life. And these elements should come into our hands whenever and as often as we take them, we should remember. Should we take them? We should. As a believer. As an unbeliever, it's nothing. It means nothing. But as a believer, it should be a point of contact that causes you to look in all of these directions. So many look back and they remember, when I gave my life to Christ, I remember the cool things. Oh, I remember something that happened. But the question is, what about now? What is God doing now in your life? What is He saying now? What does He want to do now in your life? This is the moment that God, as He's reaching out and speaking to your heart, this is the moment that you can make a decision to not live like you had up to this point. And you can begin to walk forward. Now that's for unbelievers alike. You can give your life to Him. You can hear Him. And it's not the pastor's voice. It's not so. Everywhere I go, I hear Him. And I lay down at night and He reaches out to me. You can respond to Him. But even for those who would call themselves Christians or are followers of Jesus Christ, today there are things that you could let go of, things that you won't let go of, or things you won't allow to be changed, that this moment you can choose. You're enabled to make that choice. His calling is His enabling. What's going on in your life now? See, the elements, when we hold them, there should be so much more than just a piece of cracker and some juice. It takes time to take communion, to really think, to reflect on all that God has done. We're to look through them, not just at them. There's a Bedouin tradition. The Bedouin are still around in Israel, in the Middle East, and they're herds or tribes. They're nomads. They wander. They raise herds. And every now and then, there are some contentions between tribes or families, and there's a feud. Whenever a feud is finally overcome, they will have this feast between the two families or tribes called the Shulah, and it marks the end of a blood feud between families or tribes. When the blood feud finally ends, they eat, they fellowship. And it's important. This same bread, the same food now is going to break down in our bodies. We are now going to call ourselves united or one. Well, for us, the Lord's Supper is to be a reminder that the feud is over. We are no longer His enemies. He is Lord, and we have learned He is Lord. We're His. Between us and the Lord, between us and one another, the feud can end. It's sealed by His blood. You got a feud going on between you and your spouse, between you and a family member, you and a friend. You can't go around them without trying to walk the other way. All of those things, if God is leading, can end. It's really a matter of the pride. Now, it may not end on their side. They can still want to fight all they want to, but it can end on your side. It's a matter of looking through the elements, remembering what Christ has done, and forgiving, and moving on. Because life, when you look ahead, it's too short. There's not enough time for all that. Move on. Charles Spurgeon said this. We'll close with this. Never mind the bread and the cup unless you can use them as folks use eyeglasses. What do they use them for? To look at? No. To look through them. So use the bread and the cup as a pair of glasses. Look through them and do not be satisfied until you can say, yes, yes, I can see the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's what our communion experience ought to be. It's not on the church, it's not on the ambiance, it's not on the flavor of the cracker or the type of juice. That's on your heart, it's on you. Your communion experience.
Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew, right here, on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we want to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Maybe the teaching you heard is exactly what you're looking for in a church. Then please join us. You can find our service times for Sunday morning worship and our midweek Bible study at our website. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. Again, for more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. There, you will be able to listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to say thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.